topics loosely followed. Welcome to the Perpetually Untitled Podcast.
Well, hello, Carla.
Hello, Matt. Now that we're recording, I want to try and see if something's going to work.
Okay.
Alexa, turn off lights.
Only through the headphones,
rats.
So.
Oh, rats. I can see your Alexa going in the background.
Yeah, like right over here.
To anyone who's listening whose lights just turned off, I'm sorry.
False.
I was just trying to mess with Matt.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Now it's on here. I hope people are listening.
Right. That says it.
Alexa, order expensive things from Amazon. Oh, she's thinking.
Shop for everyday items. Try saying things like, Alexa, order AA batteries. Or reorder paper towels.
Okay. Well, we'll see what shows up.
Yeah.
You're looking very cozy.
It's cozy. I got my hot cocoa here. Ching. Because it is, once again, unpleasantly cold in northern Ohio. So you came, and when you come back from Florida, you were in Ohio briefly, and my yard turned into Narnia.
Yes.
And I feel like this is the second time that this has happened where we were like, blah, winter, you know, nothing notable. And then you came up from Florida for something and terrible happened.
And
you left. And you left it here. You didn't take it with you.
And of course, now I am back in Florida as of last night. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful here last week in Florida. And now it's supposed to be cold this week because I have returned.
Define cold, Matthew.
I mean, you know, within the context of Florida.
Right.
So it'll probably
be tomorrow is 14.
Okay. It'll probably be in the 60s tomorrow, be my guess.
Yeah. I would take that. That sounds delightful.
We got our car back. Okay. I don't know how much you mentioned, but I bought a cheap, air quotes, cheap car to keep here versus like renting every time we come down here.
Right.
Just leave it here and intentionally got something cheap to like not care if it floats around away in a hurricane, you know,
and something that you weren't going to get emotionally attached to.
Yes, exactly. It's a 2009 Corolla. Definitely a departure. In fact, when I got in my Tesla the other night after returning back home to Ohio after being away for quite some time and stepped on the gas, and I was like, oh, I missed this so much. And I picked
missed
up
having
our
a real engine.
Yes. And I picked up our 1.6 liter Corolla today and had quite the opposite effect when I stepped on the gas. But cheap car comes with cheap car problems, which is things breaking and needing fixed. So it's needed a new exhaust and a new alternator within the past like month. So, but you got to do what you got to do.
So. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, those definitely the alternator, like your car will not go unless you address those things.
Yep. So that was addressed the same day. The exhaust was just loud. And so we were just kind of dealing with it. Like, do I really want to spend $1,000 to be a little quieter?
Do you not remember? So my previous car, I was like, it's a little loud. And it was like all in one day this happened. We're like, oh, it's a little loud. Oh, it got super loud all of a sudden. Oh, I'm dragging something. My entire...
Yeah.
Like not just the muffler, but the entire exhaust fell off.
Yeah.
And I was on like my meal break at work. It was my lunch break. And I always went out for my lunch break so I could listen to my audiobook and drive around and kind of decompress halfway through the day. And so I was late for a meeting and I go into the meeting. It was a small meeting and I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. Like I was coming out from lunch and my car got super loud. And I think my exhaust fell off. And I think that they thought that I was making up some sort of excuse, like a college student turning in a late paper or something. Yeah. And so we're sitting there during this meeting and there's walkie-talkies for our facilities and maintenance people. And there was a base station in this room and we hear coming over the walkie-talkie, hey, yeah, it looks like somebody dropped their whole exhaust right in the driveway. Everyone's head whipped to turn at me. I'm like, I told you. So they got on the radio. They're like, yeah, it's Carla's. What does she want us to do with it? I'm like, if you set it off to the side, like in the grass, I'll take care of it. So I did. I took it inside my car all the way to the muffler shop.
Who probably threw it away.
We can't put this back on. If you hadn't drug it, it would be salvageable. And I was like, well, look, I was in the middle of traffic, so that wasn't an option. So I was like, but you can recycle it appropriately now. Thank you. I didn't leave it as detritus on the side of the road, which is definitely like a very Cleveland thing. I mean,
it's a very everywhere thing.
So today is President's Day. So I had the day off of work. And so we had our weather event this weekend. I then had a doctor's appointment this morning at the Cleveland Clinic Maine, which is not that far from me, but part of I-90, like I had to go down to two lanes because there was a huge accident there to get past. And then as I was leaving, the Cleveland Clinic has skyways for pedestrians that go across because it's multiple city blocks. And I looked down, and there's a whole bunch of police cars and a fire truck, and somebody's pickup truck had completely missed the intersection and taken out the Cleveland Clinic sign, which is pretty dramatic. So I'm just waiting for all the snow to melt to see all of the mufflers and hubcaps and rear ends and front ends and all of that left behind in the snow, because that feels just very Cleveland to me.
Well, I think I was hearing a clanking sound in the back of this car as I was turning or like navigating through a parking lot. And then I heard a clunk, ding, 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 of something like clearly falling off of the car. And then I no longer heard
that
the clunking sound after that.
That was
so I'm
the bracket holding on your exhaust.
Okay. That's gone now. Whatever it was, obviously wasn't too important. And I did mention it to the muffler shop and they're like, yeah, things were pretty rusted out under there. So probably just something to do with that. I mean, it was an Ohio car. We bought it there and drove it here. And then also it sat through two hurricanes down here, probably with like standing water underneath it for who knows how long. So,
yeah.
Welcome to Car Talk with Matt and Carla. Guess what?
What?
We have quite a few voicemails.
Ooh.
Shall we? Quite a few. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, should we dig into them?
Oh, and I think I know what one of them is because I've been sent a photo to accompany one of the voicemails.
All right. Well, we'll see if we get to that one.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Hi, it's Molly, and I'm not all the way through the episode, so I can't promise that I won't call back again, but I had to immediately pause and correct the record so that I was going to commission a painting of my husband. And for years, I had this photograph that I wanted to commission someone to paint. And then after a while, I was like, hang on a minute, I paint. So no, it is not a commissioned painting. I did it myself, and I will share it to the Facebook to show it off. So I might call back. I don't know. I don't know what else you're going to say. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. I stand corrected. It was not commissioned. Molly is so talented. So yes. So she has sent me this painting. And of course, it's in like our group chat. So I have to scroll all the way back. I'll send it to you, Matt.
Okay. I do want to see it. That would have been a couple episodes ago, I think, because with the way timing works, we'll often like, it'll be an episode I'm editing. We haven't recorded an episode. A voicemail will come in. So apologies to those. If it takes a while for us to get to your voicemail, we will get there.
The irony is, of course, this is way easier on mobile. I might just do it on mobile.
Yeah, just do it on mobile and hold up to the camera.
No, I'm going to text it to you. Are you kidding?
Oh, so I got to get my phone.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That is really good. Who's the little stuffed friend?
Which cat is it? Oh, on the mantle, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the stuffed on the mantle, but I think that is Tango that he's holding. But
that's
not
very good. And I like the whole...
Not 100% positive.
Thinking of commissioning this thing. Wait, no, I'll just do it myself. I could totally do it. And then you rock out something that is pretty amazing. So nicely done. Shall we move on?
Let's continue on. Yeah.
Okay.
Matt and Carla, it's Correspondent K. My apologies for being a little missing in action. It's been way too long. But you encouraged me to call in with that perpetually undesigned mug. I'm just kidding. I would call no matter what. All right. I have many opinions, and I'm going to try to say them really fast so I don't need a second voicemail. Here we go. On meeting people, I wish he would have done the clowns episode. I have a lot of experience. My mother-in-law went to clown school and learned to juggle and make balloon animals. And I have a lot to say. She did the makeup and the parades and all the things. And if you ever do a clowns episode, let me be a guest because I have opinions. Carla, I loved your comment about how if you think someone's normal, you just don't know them that well. That was very clever. I have two really fast stories of the most interesting ways I've met people. Number one, at my first job out of college, it was at like a call center. There was a lot of middle-aged people there at the time. And when I was in my early 20s, and I sat down at break, and another gal about my age sat down next to me and said, "Hi, my name's Denise. We're going to be friends." And she was right. She had picked me out as someone that was her age and maybe had similar interests. And we did. We became friends right then. It was like a playground. And the most interesting way I met someone was I was at a conference at a big water park in the Sandusky area, as it happens, indoor water park. And I was there by myself, and we had a break from the conference, and I thought, I want to check out this water park. I've never been here. So I went, I rode some of the slides. It was fun. But the best rides were clearly ones that you had to have more than one person for the big inner tubes. It was a weight issue. So I really wanted to ride these rides, but I didn't know anyone else at the conference. And so I was standing there kind of reading the signs, and this guy was standing next to me also reading the signs. And he was like, "Hey, are you at the conference?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm at the conference." And he's like, we kind of looked at each other. He's like, "Yeah, it's a bummer. You have to have two people to ride these." And we looked and we're like, you want to ride together?" And I was like, "Sure." So we did. It was actually pretty amazing. He was a very nice guy. I saw him the next day. He was a beverage rep. But it was funny. That's how we met. And we rode all these water slides in bathing suits in awkward positions and had a great time. So one of the most interesting ways I've met people. Luxuries. Carla, I love your comment about not having to have a budget. That is one of my favorite luxuries that I also have. I also have a pool, which Matt thinks are dumb, but you know, we enjoy it. So sorry, Matt, you're wrong. On commissioned art, so my stepdad is a very accomplished artist. He has a degree in art education and a PhD in administration, but he's been an art teacher and an artist for many, many years. And my absolute favorite painting of his is he actually gave me recently. He had promised it to me someday when he's gone, but he decided to give it to me now. I'll pop a picture of it on the Facebook page.
And that hit the voicemail limit.
Okay, that was always a limit. I'm hoping she calls back. Let's find out. I won't dive in yet.
I knew I couldn't get it done in one voicemail. I'll pop a picture of it in one of your Facebook comments or something like that. It's really pretty. He has a website, too, and he actually does commissioned stained glass art. So people will have him do windows or just pieces that hang on the wall, as well as commissioned oil paintings. So check it out. It's pretty cool. My father-in-law told me when it comes to cars and luxuries and cars, there was a car in the 70s that the passenger seat was optional. It was a $25 option. So if you wanted a passenger seat, you had to pay extra. I found that very funny. And on advice, and home ownership, one of the most useful classes I took in my college career, back when I first met Carla, was I had to take a construction management class. I didn't have to. I did. And we learned absolutely nothing about management. But what we did learn, the instructor was a home builder, and he literally taught us how homes are built, like the terminology, how it's done, the process, all those things. It was so freaking useful. We built a house in 2016. I knew all the terms. I knew exactly what was happening. I knew the process. So useful. The best advice someone's ever given me, well, at least financially, since you guys talked about that, was my mom. I can still hear it in my head. She said, when I got my first credit card, she said, "You always pay this off, ever not to pay this off." And that was really great advice because I've always done it. And it served me very well personally because it made me live within my means. If I just saw my credit card balance getting too high, I knew it was probably time you shut down the spending. So although I don't really keep a budget, that does kind of keep me honest. So I will shut up now. Thanks for still recording. Have a great day. Looking forward to the next episode. Goodbye.
Bye, Kay.
First of all, thank you. It was nice to hear from you. I was worried.
I was amazing. There was like three
10 episodes worth. I don't know. Like a bunch of episodes worth. And I like, I, you could hear her flipping the pages.
Oh, she's got notes. Yeah. Absolutely. I loved how many times she said that I was right, and then you were wrong.
You were wrong, right?
The pool.
The pool. Now, I like swimming pools. I just feel the same way I do kind of about boats. Like, I like other people to have swimming pools. I don't want one to deal with myself. Dana's birthday was this past, we celebrated Dana's birthday, I should say, this past weekend. And the place we went to had an outdoor pool that's still open and they keep it super mega
heated.
In
Ohio?
Yes.
Ooh.
And now, first of all, I can't imagine what that must cost, right? But yeah.
That feels very Scandinavian, though.
It was great. We were swimming and the snow was coming down and it was just a very pleasant experience. But that was me enjoying someone else's pool. I would not want that to deal with myself.
The bills alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Credit cards, exact same way. Not only do you pay them off, but use them, right? Because there's a lot of protections using a credit card gets you versus using
back,
like
man.
A debit card. Yeah, you get cash back. I get a percentage cash back on our joint card. I use Amazon for all my personal stuff. I get Amazon credit back for that. All sorts of options out there. I used to be big on travel, using travel credit cards. If you rent a car, most travel credit cards have built-in rental car insurance. Mm-hmm. So if you pay for your rental car on that card. So there's a lot of benefits to using credit cards, but yeah, pay them off. I cringe when I see people use a debit card.
It gets out of control so fast.
And then don't use a debit card because most of the protections don't apply on debit cards and you don't get points and stuff like that.
Not only that, but just in general, I mean, knock on wood, as I say this, the only times I've been quote unquote hacked have been businesses and, you know, my credit card information is compromised or my social security number is compromised or whatever. And if it's a credit card, the credit card company just shuts it down, you know, and reverses the charges or whatever. If it's your debit card, they could theoretically empty out your accounts that you have tied to that debit card. So,
and you can't do anything about it.
It makes me very nervous.
Okay, what else did I miss? You were taking notes.
I was knitting.
Oh, I thought you were keeping track.
First, I applaud Kay for meeting a stranger in her bathing suit and getting on an inner tube with them. I feel like my level of body consciousness and like awkwardness would not allow that to happen. especially someone opposite sex. Like, if it's another chubby chick like me, hey, we're chubby chicks together. So kudos to you and your
ditto
confidence in yourself. I've actually not gone to that water park as a water park. I've gone there also for conferences, but I didn't do the water park part. So maybe now that kiddo's a little bit older,
the arcade's
not this
a lot of
summer.
Fun.
I've only gone this summer.
I've gone to the arcade a bunch of times. I've never done the water park.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, I feel like there's a lot there. I'm going to remember something mid-conversation elsewhere.
Well, and I'm going to check out her, what'd she say? It was her father-in-law or the artist? As soon as she Facebook messages one of us with his website, I'm going to check out, because I love stained glass. And if it's, you know, someone that I know, I would rather commission somebody like that, so... You got to get a big stained glass for your Florida condo, and it's got to be something very
Florida.
You guys.
Oh.
No, not very Florida. All right. You mentioned more voicemails, or do we finish our voicemails before we get too far?
There is one more voicemail, but since Kay mentioned it, she said that the coffee mug thing is one of the reasons she called.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a motivating factor for sure. So as a reminder, we are currently doing a contest. Everybody who calls in prior to us recording episode 70, and I probably should give you an exact date. I can't because our recording schedule is weird, but get them in sooner rather than later. Give us a call, 216-505-0180. We will announce on episode 70, this is episode 65 for reference, the winner of the coffee mug, which I will hopefully have actually designed. hopefully it is not a perpetually undesigned coffee mug. So yeah, give us a call, maybe win a coffee mug. And with that, shall we listen to our final voicemail?
Yeah.
This one just came in today. So good timing.
Perfect timing, person.
Hi, Carla and Matt. It's Penelope. I'm listening to your latest on advice, and Matt said that he liked advice and recommendations for pop culture. So I just found this website called Taste Dive, like Taste as in Tasty, Dive as in Diving. And you can go and put in what you're listening to, podcasts, TV shows, movies, even books. You rate things based on whether you liked them, hated them, or were neutral, and then it will suggest other things related to your tastes for you to watch. So I thought that was useful.
Fantastic. Oh, that's
Penelope,
perfect.
That's exactly great.
That's exactly the kind of, because like, so I was trying to use Goodreads based on our last conversation to get some book ideas.
It's terrible.
It's not great. I bought a, we got like one of our first orders of business down here was to get library cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that. And then I got set up with Libby.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I should get an e-reader to be able to use Libby. And she's like, don't you have a Kindle? Like they connect together now. And I'm like,
yes,
I didn't even know that. My Kindle's like
for like 15 years. Yes.
Okay. My Kindle's my Kindle is like ancient. And also not in Florida. So I just bought a new one, but I've been trying to use Goodreads to like get some book recommendations.
Goodreads is terrible.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So things that'll give me pop culture recommendations, especially I'm looking for some books right now. Carla, perhaps you can.
I was just going to say, I'm like borderline insulted, except that I knew you would eventually get around to asking me for recommendations.
Off the podcast, because this is not going to be that Carla recommends things to Matt. That could be a bonus episode.
But actually, yes, it absolutely could. But no, I already have a couple ideas of things to recommend to you, but we'll have a chat as soon as we're done recording here.
Okay. That's perfect.
Cool.
I'm trying to just focus less on the news lately, regardless of what you're thoughts and beliefs are. There's just too much media flashing too many bright lights at you, and I'm trying to tone it back a little bit. And I think reading is probably a good way to shift that focus a little bit. I can't do audiobooks. It's weird. You do audiobooks, you can't do podcasts. I do podcasts, I can't do audiobooks.
It's not that I can't do podcasts, it's that I am so incredibly picky that no podcast reliably meets my criteria. Very few, and actually that's before we choose our topic, I have a fun story. So Google has a new AI product, and
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
Notebook LM.
And it has a podcast mode.
It does. And so I have a colleague who dumped like our workplace's entire strategic plan, it's like 150 pages, dumped it into this AI Notebook LM, not getting a sponsorship from them, but wouldn't be opposed, and had it generate a podcast. And there's like a two voice mode and a single voice mode. And I tell you what, that two voice mode was very convincing. It has ums and ahs and likes. Yeah. And she sounds like me, Matt.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, my brother.
Like
yes.
A lot like me. It was very creepy. Yeah,
my brother-in-law showed this to me. It'll even do videos. He sent it videos and it did a podcast about their vacation based on the videos, which is kind of mind-blowing. And I agree. I thought to myself, we could do a bonus episode of having the Notebook LM do an episode. For us. Yeah.
We could try it. I mean, we might be out of a job.
Yeah, right. Yeah. People are going to prefer
a job.
People will prefer the AI, and then we'll lose our podcast hosting unpaid jobs.
I have faith that my brain is unpredictable and that no AI can capture the randomness that you and I together come up with. So we'll see.
Yeah. But we're going to try it. So we got, so we've already got two bonus episodes.
Carla gives Matt book recommendations.
Yes.
I don't know if
AI does an episode for us.
Should we, now that we've been recording for a half an hour already, pick a topic?
Yeah, let's get this done. Let's pick a topic.
Boop, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop.
Golf.
You know what? It's okay if we don't have much to say because we've already recorded so much. I don't remember getting this one before. I don't care enough to veto it, but if you want to veto it, I won't cry.
I actually have a few random things to say about golf, so
we can make this a
short episode, and it'll be like
it'll be a
voicemail episode that is also
golf.
Although, will people even play it?
I mean, we've had plenty at this stage of the game. Everyone knows that the topic is not what.
The topic's not the topic.
Is why you're coming. Right, exactly. Advice. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so do you want to start out with a golf story or an anecdote?
Yeah, first of all, I'll start off with a golf story, literally, because there, if you have a Nintendo Switch.
Which I do.
There is a game called, it's either A Golf Story or The Golf Story. And it's kind of like an adventure game that also has like a golfing simulator element to it. It's kind of got that like 8-bit look to it that's been kind of popular over the last several years.
Okay.
So I will start off with a game recommendation. And I think it was on sale. I follow there's a subreddit that's just Nintendo Switch game deals.
Oh.
And I saw that it was on sale. Might not be on sale now, but it was like $3 or something like that. A Golf Story.
Okay. All right.
But now a less literal golf story. Dane and I have been trying to learn to golf. It was
that's been going on for a while because we ages ago talked about like going shopping for golf clothes or something like that.
Yeah. It was one of those like there is a driving range like right around the corner from our house. And I'm always looking for things to do like when I'm bored that are somewhat active to like blow some stress off or whatever. Are you knitting in the middle of my golf story?
Maybe. My ears don't need to be involved in the knitting. I'm listening.
Rude.
I'm listening.
Just for the record, Carla is knitting while podcasting.
I mean, we talked about me having a very cozy setup here. I am peak cozy. I have a hot cocoa and I'm knitting. Tell me more about golf, Matthew.
Okay. Yes. Let's dive further into this thrilling topic. No, my goal for golfing was just to be able to go to the driving range and hit some balls, like stress relief type of a thing. And I could really not actually hit the ball. And so I started getting, I got some golf lessons. Like I just want to be at the driving range and be able to hit the ball. So I found somebody who gives very inexpensive lessons. I don't know why I come with that word.
I was on Tenderhooks waiting. Okay.
And
this is up in Ohio, right?
Yeah. This is like right around the corner. This is a couple of years ago, right around the corner from our Ohio house.
Okay.
And he's like, "Where's your set of golf clubs?" And I only have these two golf clubs. And he's like, "How do you expect to play golf with only two golf clubs?" I'm like, "I'm just here to hit the ball." Like that's, he's like, you got to go get some more golf clubs. He just did not know what to do with me. When he's like, "Where are your golf clubs?" I'm literally holding one in each hand. I'm like, here they are.
Man, this is it. Okay, There's no aspirations of anything fancier.
I got a driver and a 7-iron. Is that not enough? So I had to go and amass a set of golf clubs. I got to the point where I could passively hit the ball and it served its purpose, right? It's a fun way to just be able to go outside in the dark because it's always dark in Ohio in winter.
And
do something that is a little bit physical and a little bit challenging and not just sitting at home watching something on Netflix or YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Cleveland's, we've talked before about the Metro Parks.
Yeah. Cleveland has a nice Metro Park golf course.
They have several nice Metro Park golf courses. Very nice. And they, not only that, but they have lessons and one of their golf courses is really designed specifically for like beginner golfers and a lot of the lessons are taught there as well. So
it's where you can go and not annoy and irritate the more experienced golfers.
Exactly. Cause that's one. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I told my instructor, like I'm never going to play golf. He's like, "You're learning to golf and you're not going to play golf." I'm like, I'm going to go to like the driving range and to Top Golf, but I don't plan to go to a course. He's like, "You should go to a course. It's actually a lot of fun after you own more than two golf clubs." the lessons that the Metro Parks teach, they're very in demand. So like you have to book pretty early if you want to take lessons from them. But we also took a program from them and the last lesson is basically they send you out on the golf course and you actually play a round of golf with everyone else you learned with who's also terrible and just learning. So it's very comfortable knowing that you're with people
who are. 4 hours later.
Actually the instructor actually came out and find us and said, we are way farther behind and there's people behind us and we actually need to like pick it up a little bit. Yeah. He was shocked that, because this course is supposed
shouldn't have been.
this course is supposed to take like 2 to 2.5 hours to complete from end to end. And we were not even like, we were barely halfway over. He was like, okay, you guys are probably gonna need to like not finish your game.
So I've been golfing once and it was actually down in Florida, although not where you are. I was down in the Naples area, and this is before Kidda was on the scene. So long, long ago. And it was friends of my mother-in-law got us into, because somebody knew somebody who had the keys to the clubhouse, a closed golf course. Okay. And you may be saying to yourself, like, how do you close a golf course? It's just grass. So in Florida, a lot of the condos are built so that your backyard abuts whatever hole of the golf course, and you pay an HOA fee that kind of helps subsidize the golf course, I guess, or it's part of it. And so the course was still mowed. You don't want a lot of critters and things because there's critters in Florida. But it wasn't manicured. There were patches where it was just dirt. You know, the grass had died in patches. And it wasn't like that nice lush grass that you associate with golf courses. But we got it. We got clubs there. And then we had a golf cart, which is really the highlight of it for me. And I had some very rudimentary lessons on like how to grip the club correctly. I think like only once or twice did I completely whiff getting the ball off of the tee at all. So we were very, very low key, but it was a good time. Honestly, I think I might have even stopped trying to golf at one point and I was like, let me drive the golf cart. Like, I'll just be that person. I don't know if I could ever be competitive about it.
Yeah.
But it's a pleasant way to structure outdoors time. I didn't feel like it was particularly physically exerting. Again, golf cart. So yeah. I don't know if I would use it as a form of exercise. Certainly you have to have a little bit of strength to swing.
I mean, even like, because I wore my fitness watch when I was going to golf lessons and going to the driving range, and my average heart rate goes up 20 to 30 beats a minute. So it's not like you're like running a marathon or anything like that. It's not nothing, but even though you're not moving around a lot, it actually does kind of push your body a little bit more into that, you know, I'm not being lethargic and sitting on the couch right now.
Yeah.
Mode. So I started saying how the last lesson was you go out on a course with a bunch of people, and then the instructor kind of found us and said, you're too slow. And then some of about half the group was like, they're kind of, I think, done anyway. And they're like, okay, we're just going to go. But me, Dana was with me. And then one other person decided to finish it up because there's only a few holes. Like we can pick the pace up. I didn't plan on taking most of the day off because it was like an early thing. But after we were done, we asked the person in the class like who was still with us, do you want to sit outside? It's a nice day and have a beer. And then so I bought a round and then she bought a round. And I think I bought a second round. And next thing I know, I'm day drinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, drinking and golfing definitely go.
Yeah. Well, there's all sorts of great YouTube and TikTok and Facebook Reel and whatever videos of people drunkenly crashing their golf carts and things.
Yeah, there's a whole Jackass skit in one of the movies of them having fun in golf carts.
I feel like it goes even farther back. Like it goes back to Caddyshack, you know?
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield was in some sort of golf movie also, I feel like.
Yeah, Caddyshack.
Was he in? Okay, thought he was in another one that was later.
I think it's Caddyshack. Okay, now I got to look it up.
I've actually never seen Caddyshack. I know. It always elicits that response. I know it's Bill Murray. It's Chevy Chase.
And it's Rodney Dangerfield.
And it is Rodney Dangerfield. Okay. Yep. And then there's Happy Gilmore was the Adam Sandler one.
That's a classic. I was just thinking of that the other day.
I also haven't seen that.
If I had to pick between Caddyshack.
You just rolled your eyes. I love it.
It's like,
Carla.
All right. So interesting thought exercise for me. If I had to recommend either Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore, if you're only going to watch one of those two.
I would watch Caddyshack before I watched Happy Gilmore. I'll just say that now. I'm not going to watch either unless like I'm in a situation where someone else is like, hey, we're putting this on, I'm not going to seek out either of them.
I think Happy Gilmore is a funnier and more enjoyable movie because it has, I feel like, at least a little bit more of a plot to it. But Caddyshack is just a classic with some classic comedians in it.
I like old school Bill Murray. So, and I did not, I have not seen most Adam Sandler films or Will Ferrell films or whatever. So, are there any other golf movies that come to mind?
Gosh, there's got to be.
It's kind of those two are like the peak. Okay.
Yeah. There was a Netflix series that takes place on a, like, it's kind of a comedic coming of age. Kids who are, like, they work at, like, a country club.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of follows their stories around. Okay. So golf is kind of tangential. I don't even remember the name of the, show. So.
You couldn't even remember the name, the word show.
Search for golf. I don't know. My mind just went off about 1,000 different
No, that's okay. I don't need to.
It's been a long day. A lot of travel yesterday.
Yeah. So
my brain is fried.
You have golf clubs now. Are they still in Ohio or did you acquire a set for Florida?
Funny you should ask. So I started with literally those two golf clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And then to build a starter set, I just bought additional one-off clubs to kind of complete enough of the set to have enough to like complete lessons.
Oh, but they don't match?
And they didn't match.
I would have a problem with that.
And then I kind of piecemealed from there. And then I did finally buy like a matched set of irons. And I sold some of the other clubs to kind of pay for the matched set of irons.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when we were down here before, I thought to myself, you know, I'll just buy another set of golf clubs down here. And then like, I started looking around like, okay, I'm not good. Golf clubs are crazy priced right now. I don't know if they're more expensive down here or what, but like we went to the flea market, Carla. There's a huge flea market and there's like one booth that specializes in like, it's a gigantic booth and it specializes in used golf gear.
Mm-hmm.
I found my set of golf clubs that I paid like $225, I think, for the set for like over $500.
So many, many years ago, my dad dumpster dived an incomplete set of golf clubs.
Of course, he did. Yeah.
This is why AI can never replace me. Yeah. So dad dumpster dived it. And then it ended up at my house, but lived at my old house. You remember my old house?
Yeah.
In my walk-up attic. So I had this partial set of golf clubs.
I think you've actually told part of this story.
Maybe.
This is sounding familiar, but continue.
Well, but they never saw the light of day. I think that they might have been like a juvenile set. They were small, that they were short. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was a lady set. It was like a kid set. So no, I ended up donating them to one of the local charities and like yeeting them over the donation like dumpster side, like the golf clubs in like a bag
flying.
It smelled real musty. I was like, yeah, I don't know where they came from,
and I don't want them.
But I mean I know they came from a dumpster at some point, so we kept them out of the landfill momentarily for like the 10 years between my dad and then in my attic.
I had enough random clubs from when I piecemealed a set together that I built a small set to come down here with me.
Okay. So,
and I bought like a really cheap travel bag. And so I just checked them on the airplane and they came down here fine. So as of now, it's a half set. So just the odds. I used ChatGPT. I said, here's all the random clubs that I have.
Yeah.
I'd like to build a small
set. Yeah.
What do you recommend I take to Florida with me? And it made some recommendations.
Neat.
So I came down. So yes, I do have a small set of clubs down here now.
Now, are those something that you and Dana can share? Or are they really like, you aren't like crazy different in height, but you're different in height. Does she need to have her own or can you guys?
She should have her own. And usually women's have a different, women's clubs usually have a different type of shaft to make it easier to swing. So there are differences between men's and women's clubs, but they're not substantial. Like we actually talked about this. She has a set of golf clubs as well in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
not enough to build a separate set like I did. And so we debated, do we take the set down? Do we take some down? And I was like, you know what? We're not going to be like golfing all the time. I just want to be able to go to the golf, like the driving range, and maybe occasionally go out with equally terrible golfers. So
yeah.
If she comes with me, she can just use my set, or we keep an eye out for like a set down here.
I'm going to look up a factor on my phone. So I play puzzle games every morning, mm-hmm. which you know. And one of them is called Chrono. It is, I think it's 6 random historical facts, and you're supposed to try to put them in order, and it times you. And one of the facts that comes up frequently has to do with golf. Scotland, of all places, which is like so associated with golf, in 1457, Scotland's parliament banned golf, and it was banned there until 1744. So almost a full 300 years, Scotland banned golf. And I want to know, because I have done no research on this, but like, what do you got to do to get that
for an entire country to ban an entire?
So yeah. It had to have been either disrupting like sheep pastures or something. I mean, it's Scotland, right? There's lots of sheep. Or it was political in some way, like a proxy for battle or something. But yeah, this factoid keeps showing up, and I could have looked it up right then and I didn't, but I haven't dug into why. But yes, so Scotland banned golf for a long period of time.
That is, you're right.
I associate Scotland, like, pick a sport for Scotland. 1, the caber toss. 2, golf. Like, that's what I associate with that. So,
One of the things I liked about the golf lessons we took at the Metro Parks is that they actually talk a bit about the history of golf. And the dude has, like, this collection of golf clubs dating back to, like, when they were entirely made out of wood. And so he talks a little bit about the history, the ancestry, and stuff like that. So I don't remember him mentioning Scotland banning golf. I bet he would know why, though. I'm sure the internet would know why.
I went back to look up Scotland banned golf, but the first thing that came up was Scotland banned Christmas. So Scotland hates things, apparently. Like the Scottish people are full of wanting to ban things. I'm gonna read this at my leisure, but I found an article.
Well,
no, here it is. It's right here.
Summarize
people
it. Yeah,
often played in enclosed public spaces such as streets and churchyards. This was considered dangerous and a nuisance. Yeah, I could see it. Yeah. I could see it. They also banned football, which I'm assuming they mean soccer, around the same time. So I don't know. Scotland's full of haters.
I can't, I mean, almost any topic we talk about, I always have like something from YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the guys I follow, he did this thing for a while where he was traveling around the US and he would play a round of golf at the worst rated golf course. And so when you were talking about like playing on a closed golf course and how it's not really manicured, that makes me think a lot of these courses, because like, there's specifically one, I think it was in Arkansas. Like, it definitely looked like it had not actually been maintained in a number of years. And like, paying for the round was like the honor system. Like, there's just a building with a slot, and you're supposed to put like $5 in the slot or something like that. But that was actually kind of entertaining, watching these semi-pro golfers try to play golf at a more or less abandoned golf course. There's also a couple I follow where they just I don't even know why I find this entertaining. I think it's the same thing with like people who like watch the videos of cleaning drains and stuff like that.
Hey.
Which, by the way, I just said in the group chat not too long ago, the drain
welcome
here for
the
air conditioning was clogged, and I used a shop vac to unclog it, and as it started gushing out, I was like, wow.
It's so satisfying,
that was actually
right?
Pretty satisfying, yeah. So I guess I kind of get it. But anyway, this couple, they go to like garage sales, and they go to like thrift stores. And the guy knows golf clubs really well and golf equipment really well. Mm-hmm. And they just go and they get excited at finding like, oh, this is a Scotty Cameron, blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, this is, you know, this is, And, you know, then they do the whole, like, what's the value if we were to eBay them and how much we pay for them. And then they go play a round of golf with them to kind of like review them and the state that they found them. So I will post on social media links to some of these channels if people are actually interested. So you said you have played golf exactly one time and you thought to yourself, this is not an unreasonable way to spend time outside. Do you think it's something you'd ever get into?
So as of right now, not with a school-aged kid.
Yeah.
Like it for me, I have no time for the hobbies I already have, but it's something that I could see enjoying. Rob seemed to enjoy it too. And so I'm always on the lookout for hobbies we could do together and do stuff together or even with friends. So I could see it. I don't know if I would be as drawn to the driving range setup that is a little bit more accessible around here. Like I am not coming at this from a competitive angle. I'm doing this as a pleasurable pastime. Like it is slightly more respectable than like croquet, you know, like if friends wanted to get together and just like play bocce ball, that would also be totally, totally cool with me.
And that's that. One of the reasons I have to keep it casual is I don't want it to become competitive, mostly because I don't want to be mad at how terrible I am at it. Like I want it to be okay that I'm not good at it. And then when I was taking lessons and I was spending a lot of time at the driving range, I was starting to get the point. It's like, oh, I'm doing worse today than I was yesterday. It's making me mad. Mm-hmm. And I came to the conclusion, this is not what I got into this. I just want to have fun with this. I don't want to care much at all about how I actually perform. So I stopped taking lessons mostly because I achieved what I wanted to achieve, which is I can hit the ball with more often than I cannot, right? Mm-hmm. I can go to the driving range. I can hit it. It moves. I've kind of given up on the lesson piece of it, but it is a lot of fun. There's a lot of ways to experience it. I assume you've never been to Topgolf.
I have not.
So Topgolf is a super popular thing now, and they've built them all over, and they must cost millions of dollars to build because they're these giant plots of land, and they have technology that can actually track with a high degree of accuracy your ball, and they've made a whole game thing out of it. So they've got like Angry Birds. They've got, I think they're doing like a Marvel themed one right now. That's kind of and they even like theme their food around it. Right. So I think that's
ridiculous. The licensing alone has to cost.
The licensing alone. Yeah. I like something like, I like Angry Birds because like it overlays over a monitor, like Angry Birds. You've got like stacks of stuff with the birds and it's just like Angry Birds, but you're using your golf ball to knock things down. And then it's overlaid in such a way that you have actual references in front of you where everything is is laid out.
I'd try it. I don't know if I would like it. Like,
you would see the pricing, Carla, and you would say, this is not for me.
Probably.
You try it if someone else is paying.
That is fair.
It's quite pricey. Unless you know, they have like half price on Tuesdays, I think. And whereas if you go to a more traditional driving range, like the one by me, a giant bucket of balls is like $12, and that'll last me every bit of an hour. So
that sounds more my speed. Yeah.
But yeah, I think I had a lot more fun with it than I thought. Spending a day out in the golf course was a lot of fun, driving around in the golf cart. The thing I'm not sure of, I always played 9 holes because the course that I play at only has 9 holes. What do you do about the bathroom when you're playing 18 holes of golf? That should take 4 or 5 hours. And if you're drinking beers or anything along the way,
I mean, I
don't have an answer to that.
I don't know how far you are from the clubhouse at any given time. I don't know.
Well, and you're like, you have like tee times and stuff. So I don't think you can like leave the course for a period of time and then go back. So
maybe one of our listeners knows. Thing, I don't know.
Yeah. 216-505-0180. Tell me how to pee on the golf course.
Not literally
on the golf course. I want to know that they didn't talk about that in that didn't come up in our golf lessons. So I don't want to say about golf.
On that note.
That's probably a good stopping point.
I feel like I have nowhere to go after talking about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take it easy on our listeners and we'll make this topic a short one.
Okay.
I have been Matt.
And I have been Carla.
And we will talk to you soon.